Hey, and welcome to another edition of the Rugby Report Card. It is another week, but this first time I think I've ever had the privilege of saying this. Crusaders sucked in, mate. 4-0 start. Rob Penny, what are you doing, buddy? But a great round of rugby, lots to dissect. And with me this week is Blake. How are you, mate?
Good, buddy. Good.
That's good. You sound a bit down, mate, but we'll come back to you. And Jim, how
are you?
I thought
I was pretty up and about.
Do you know what? What is exciting this week is the fact is that we can talk about some positives. As always, the Reds showed up again. They are the real deal, aren't they, Blake, at the moment, the Reds?
Absolutely, mate. I guess for this week, I thought we treated our listeners last week to a lengthy pod last week. Yep. So we're going to do a quick one this week, quick fire. So you lead the dance, Rich, and I'll follow.
Well, no, if I'm starting, that means I get to make the point. I think the Reds excite me. I think they are the real deal. I think the fact is that they're
excited.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for joining us again, by the way. I think that the fact is their forwards have got some grunt. They get over the game line. They create quick balls. So the Reds excite me. And I know they're against a shit Rebels team, but I'm sure someone will talk about that. But the Reds are the real deal at the moment. Exciting times.
Reds are legit, mate. They really, really, really are legit. It's really exciting. I think 7, 8, 9 I come on every week and absolutely froth about them, and I'd like to froth about them again. And then I think Uru had his best game ever. He was absolutely outstanding. Very exciting times for the Queensland Reds. It's great to have a genuine hope in Australian rugby. And I don't think we'll get to the Brumbies and Tars in a moment. They're not too far off the mark, but the Reds seem legitimate. The interesting thing with the Reds will be, how does that correlate to Wallaby selection? Because under both Rennie and though thou who shall not be named, there were really very few Reds players that were popular, you know, for a starting Wallaby jersey. Really, if you look at the team that played on the weekend, only McDermott, who Rennie didn't fancy at all. So it will be interesting how this form correlates into Wallaby's selection later on in the year. It remains to be seen, but I've got a hunch, given the relationship between Schmidt and Hiss, and probably the similar coaching styles there, that Schmidt will lean quite heavily on this Red side to build the backbone of a Wallaby identity. But I think that's a really interesting thought experiment, you know, who from this Reds team presents himself into Wallaby selection. Obviously, well, too early to tell, but it's exciting.
It's a thing to watch for, isn't it? Yeah, I'm with you. The Reds are true as crime at the moment. They are having some consistent success, but it all banks on, mate. It all banks on the length of the season for us. It's too early. It's too early to sort of hatch on and see where it all lands. But I think the reason we didn't see the Reds players form such a big stead in the previous Wallaby teams was that same reason that you sort of just mentioned. They played a pretty boring brand of rugby where the Wallaby coaches at the time didn't really want to settle and play what all their structures seemed to be. They wanted it in your face, up and about, and it wasn't a winning formula. Don't forget that bit too. There was that one year that they did win it, but they weren't having the success that we're seeing now, despite having what is largely a similar squad.
You know, and I think that similar squad's an interesting point. I think it's to drink that Ben Darwin Kool-Aid, it's the consistent cohesion. If you look at McWright, Wilson, Wright, McDermott, 6, 7, 8, 9, how many games of rugby have they played together now?
Yeah, but I don't think that's just clicked because of that reason. It's a fraction of the sum. So
it is. It is. But I think it's an important piece. I think if you're looking for a quick fix at the Wallabies, some sort of cohesion should be what you're shopping for.
But I don't think I think that to your point, though, as much as the cohesion is great at the Reds, I don't think it will lead to causation of selection. I just don't think it will. I think if you look at the individuals, there are better individuals. And I think Joe Schmidt will go for a first Wallaby squad, he'll pick a huge squad. But I think that first run on 15 and the 23 match day squad, I think he'll pick individuals from a number of Super Rugby franchises, because as much as the Reds are playing well, I just don't think you're seeing, you know, a fluke at 13. I don't think you're seeing Isaac Henry at 12. I don't think you're seeing Rabbi Fessler, Nongor, I just don't think you've seen it. As much as they're playing great as a collective for the Reds, I don't think that will lead to a Wallaby selection. But I may be
genuinely fascinated. I think Fessler will. I think he'll play it. And
I think Fessler will too.
Yeah, I think he'll be close. And then I think Fluke will be pretty close because he might be the last outside bat contracted to the ARU by the time the Wallaby play. So he might be a pretty good shout getting some minutes there. Anyway, exciting. They are genuinely box office to watch at the moment, the Reds. They are playing really, really good rugby union.
And before moving on to the Rebels, can I just say we shit on Vunivalu. I like the fact he's now finding more work. He is actually coming off his wing. He's trying to, take some pressure off the forwards. He's carrying the ball more. And the more game time he gets, the better he's looking in a Rebel in a red shirt. But who's not looking good at the moment is a number of those Rebels players. It's just a bit disjointed, lost contact, going backwards, it seems. They didn't slow the ball down at breakdown. And that's credit to the Reds, but just too much loose play from the forwards that didn't do enough of the grunt. Canham looks fantastic as a second rower, great carrier. Salakai Lodge, great carrier, but just think they need to go back to a bit of basics as well as the back row to slow that play the ball down a little bit.
What are they playing for now? They're done. Their season's as good as done.
That's not, mate. They got eight make the playoffs, mate. Eight make the finals.
It doesn't matter, though. Yeah, it's not like they get some financial reimbursement from it. Well, not one sizable enough to dig them out of the hole they've found themselves in.
Nah, but it's also professional pride, isn't it? Sure.
Well, which was the point I was about to make. It's professional pride, but they're not going to turn it around. I don't think they're in a position where they can. Just what they seem to be stringing back week in to week out, they'll give us a flash in the pan of some actual genuinely well-prepared moves, whether it's set piece, some flare out wide, some open field magic, but none of it will equate to the full package that is required, particularly in this comp, to string a couple of big wins against some big teams.
I think you've both been a little bit harsh and a little bit reactionary because we were only praising them last week. I think they came up against a top of the competition side in the Reds. I think Reds are, top four in any sort of sensible power rankings.
53 points, mate.
Yeah, well, that's my point on the Rebels. I actually don't think they were atrocious. They just play like this is going to sound brutal, but like they don't have a spine or they don't have a heart. Like they play like they're a
collapse. Hang on a minute. You were telling us that we're being harsh and you're not telling them they don't have a spine?
It was only a week ago.
My point was they actually played, it's a continuation, Chim's point really. They actually played quite well in moments. And individual players did some individually good things. I didn't think they were too bad. I think there's some early tries and some late tries. But there was just no sense of pride in the jersey to not league 50 points.
Mm. Here's their defensive effort last four rounds. 30 points round one. 34 points round two. That was the force. Excuse me. Something in my throat. There they are. 23 points Pacifica, followed up by 53 points the Reds. Now, if I want to see some individuals do some fancy things, mate, I tune into the pole vault.
You know what? The shit you come up with, mate. But I would liken them to an under-16 side who quite enjoy having the ball and winning contact. And as soon as they're not doing that, they're not interested.
Yeah, I agree. I think from what he said, they play a bit loose. They do play. They love running with the ball. Try and defend. They fan out too quickly. They don't do the grunt yards. They don't do the grunt work. You're right. We probably were praising them a few weeks ago, but the reality is now hit. To Jim's point, they just conceded too many points. They've got to play a bit smarter. Slow the ball down. That breakdown is so key. And I just think that makeup of, I know they're not the back row, but the two second rows in the back row just needs to do a better job of just doing a few illegal things, getting your hands on the ball, slowing it down a little bit so they can realign and stop that, stop the other team getting that momentum.
On that same point, though, like you look at the Reds, first 4 weeks of the Reds, it's the same thing. 22 points by the Tars, their defensive effort, 38 by the Canes. They then get 19 by the Chiefs, which is a conceded effort. And then 26. Rebels scored 26 points. If you're coming up against the Reds, who we're lauding as this outstanding team, of which they are, you're not worried about scoring points against them.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to look. There's a lot, just a lot of points in Super Rugby generally.
But it doesn't necessarily translate to an international stage. And that might be some of the options. You know, you take the three when the game's always going to be this close or it's an important one.
Absolutely.
You play the clock a bit more. I know strategy changes a lot.
Super Rugby's always had that. The over and under in Super Rugby is 55, 60 points a game.
Is it because everyone's playing high risk football?
I think so. And I think you're more willing to kick to the corner rather than take the three. I think, back their set piece. But to your point, Jim, I mean, the Rebels actually have the second worst points differential in their whole competition, minus 34. And that's including the Force have the worst for your interest. But that's across everyone. That is a sign that defensively, they do need to do it. They need to do a better job.
I don't know how you do it, mate. The math on that. You just impress me every week, Richard.
I just try for you, mate. I try. Moving
but
on, though.
Aside, I think they've got a season of just flash in the pan performances. It's going to be very hard mentally for them to build any sort of consistent body of work or continuity. So, you know, let's get behind the Reds because they're legit. They're playing some really, really good footy. But, you know, to my point earlier of what translates to Wallaby selection, who gets more? Rebels or Reds, if you just look on their run on sides on the weekend. And, you know, I'm supposing, interestingly, under Eddie, it would have probably been more Rebels.
I think it probably still will be, potentially. If you look, Kellaway is playing good footy at the moment. Carter Gordon, Tupou,
Loto.
Yep.
See, for me, forget it. I'd give me the Reds boys any day.
Oh, so do I. I'm just saying, I give you the Reds now, but I'm just saying that there's a chance.
How many debutants? Fuck, we're going on tangents here, but how many debutants are you expecting against Wales?
Too early, mate. Way too
early. Throw a number at me. Throw a number.
And I just think Eddie blooded everyone anyway.
Throw a number.
I'm actually going to say zero. I don't think there will be. Because to your point, I think there's been so many, maybe Max Jorgensen, but so many have already been capped, even one cap under the Eddie era. I think it's going to be very hard to find a high-level player who hasn't been capped yet.
Yeah.
For the aforementioned reason, it was just throwing them out there. And look, against Wales as well, the worst team in the North apparently at the moment, I think it's an opportunity to select a strong, experienced team and put your foot on the accelerator and Joe Smith to come out here and get 3-0. If he experiments too much and gives too many new caps, maybe the dreadful happens, which I don't think will.
We're way ahead of ourselves for a short podcast here, boys. Wallaby selection can wait. But I think it goes without saying that there's no more time. They're already selling Lions tickets.
At exorbitant prices, by the way.
Georgia, Wales, Rugby Championship, trip to Europe, and then we're playing the Lions. I think it's less than 15 test matches till we're playing the Lions. There is, you know, you want to build any sense of cohesion. There is no time for experiments.
Absolutely. Talking about a team that doesn't experiment much, so that's a nice segue into the Brumbies team. A great win, win in New Zealand. We've said the Highlanders aren't the greatest Kiwi
I've
team, but you have. But a win in New Zealand is a win in New Zealand, and kudos to the Brumbies and congratulations to them. Noah continues to kick his goals. And obviously the first half wasn't great from the Brumbies, but showed heart and character and determination. And played much better in the second half to obviously beat the Highlanders. So what were your main takeaways from the game, Jim?
Look, a second poor start by the Brumbies here. They struggled to get going against the Force the week before. Sort of saw similar things today, which is concerning and something you would be looking at. Pace is king. Fucking hell. How quick did that dude look just on that? I don't understand. But he has, his footwork alone has bailed the Brumbies out a couple of times already this season. So he is, I don't know if there's some form of fantasy team for this thing, but he must be on fire. Really disappointing for the Highlanders on their sense. You know, they've come off a long tour, pipping a few wins, not a bad record. And then to come home and lose at home in front of those students. They're a team where lacking a little bit of identity. Huge win for the Brumbies. A win in New Zealand is always a great win. But yeah, look, I'm not convinced in their form at present. I'm used to a team that's a little more expansive, maybe. Maybe that's what I'm saying. I just talked up the winger, but they seem very narrow, largely for large portions.
I think
the
opposite.
Of the
game. I think they seem so lateral, the Brumbies. They just move it left, they move it right, they move it left. Move
but with no left. Real structure, I guess.
And the only bloke who'd truck it up is Bobby V. And when the Brumbies are playing well, the more guys are putting their hand up to carry.
I don't think they have the ball carriers.
No. I think that, and that's what really worried me in the first half. But hey, it's a long season, and maybe the Brumbies, are building into the season. Because getting points in New Zealand's no joke, and I think you just take the W and you go back home, especially sort of overcoming some adversity after not playing particularly well in the first half. As a Brumbies fan, you bank this one and you move on.
You do. It's a huge win. Where my brain goes, and maybe I'm thinking too deeply about it, I just question whether or not Larkham has evolved enough as a coach to evolve with this, with the comp. Like, it is a fast-paced, changing comp. Talent's flying all over the shop. You know, the tactics that were working 5 years ago or even 3 years ago, they're not going to give you the success every team's looking for.
Yeah, and but I actually think Larkham is experimenting because the Brumbies aren't kicking for the corner. They're taking quick tap options. I think he is, purposefully spreading the deck in terms of making the guys have more bows to their strings to their bow. That Mikella was. They don't have, the rolling ball try hasn't happened. But I think he knows he can bank on that later in the season. For now, they're playing it off the top of the line out. They're taking a quick tap and doing set moves. I actually think that Larkham, he's certainly a set piece merchant. Like, he loves first phase play. I actually think he's intentionally trying things at this point of the season, because the Brumbies don't look like the Brumbies in the sense that you kick to the corner, you throw to two or four and you roll it over. They're not taking that option. And even the scrum, they're not keeping in there to try and win the scrum penalty, even when they show a bit of dominance. To give Larkham some credit, I think maybe he's playing the long game and building into it, or maybe you're right. And without Laurie Fisher, the set piece isn't what the set piece is supposed to be. And without Dan Mikella, they lack, the set structure to know what to do in every part of the field. The optimist in me wants to say Larkham's up to something, and that's why the Brumbies are experimenting a bit. Then you get to the business end of the season and they start playing a bit tighter.
Week six will be the litmus test, because right now, obviously, we don't know where they are. Next week, the Brumbies face Pacifica at home, but as I said, the litmus test will be week six, where they're up at the Reds. You know, that will determine the style of play, whether they revert back to, kick to the quarter, rolling more, play percentage set piece, or whether they continue to play a bit more lateral, trying to get some of their straight runners on. It will be interesting to see whether their strategy or gameplay changes, and that might determine the answer to the question about whether Larkham is evolving as a coach or whether they're regressing. But
I reckon the Reds are playing a bit too strong. I reckon the real litmus is going to be up against the Tars. That's the one that I'm most worried about. I reckon they're an absolute shoo-in not to win against the Reds. The Reds are too good of a team at the moment, but the Tars have actually got a bit of grunt about them and some things to play for. That's an encounter that I'm worried about, and that will signal whether or not they're regressing.
I'm salivating a few rounds coming up. I think the just two takeaways to the Brumbies for me is just a goal kicker that kicks his goals.
Yeah.
Noah's, he's the 110 in the country. He's just doing it. Yeah. And God, it makes a difference, right? He misses one or two kicks. This whole game has a completely different feel, and the Brumbies are chasing the game. And that's kind of what we're getting out of the other teams at the moment. I think you opened with it, Richard, the importance of your goal kicker. And then two, I believe Lenny Kitau got injured. And I do not think, unless there's someone that I'm not aware of, the Brumbies can cover that whatsoever.
No, that's a massive. I don't think many teams will be able to replace, you know, Ifkatau that quickly. So
yeah, and I don't know the state of that injury or what the go is, but if he's out for a number of weeks, that becomes a very tough assignment for the Brumbies. There's probably three or four blokes in that team, Valentini, they just couldn't afford to lose, and Len's certainly one of them.
Talking about moving forward, you mentioned the Waratahs right there and the feeling of the game. It's a very different feeling watching the Waratahs Blues game. Obviously a very low scoring game, lots of errors, lots of missed kicked opportunities from the Blues. The Waratahs, where they had the ball in the final probably 5-10 minutes, looked a lot more threatening when they were able to get Marky Marker with his hands on the ball at the back into clear space. But again, the Waratahs just, yes, they defended manfully and did everything that you would hopefully want, but just didn't quite execute enough and looked a disjointed team at times across the game. And it was a bit of a regress, but that's probably indicative of playing against a Blues team who are very, very strong. And another day, they might have nicked it at the end, but equally, the Blues could have put up a number of points on them as well. So a bit of work to do for the Tars, but...
Yeah, but I don't think be too reactionary because they lost.
No, absolutely not.
Because, 3 weeks in a row, they played the Crusaders, Highlanders and the Blues. They've had three Kiwi teams. Yeah. And their points differential in those three games is, negative a couple, barely. Mm. If that, I think, it's a pretty brave performance. And that's, I think without Fichetti at 12, it's pretty impressive in that regard that the Tars, even though they haven't got the money there, this is the best the Tars have played for a long time.
Yeah. And what's sad is just, as I said, the exciting thing was getting Marky Mark with his hands on the ball, but also another player who stands out for me every week. Is Parise, he took the ball on and he beats.
They couldn't get him down, man.
No, he really couldn't. Beat seven defenders, took an inordinate amount of carries in the game. But it upsets me a little bit, for an Australian perspective, the fact that he's leaving. I think that he's such a threat.
Well, I'm happy to sit down and discuss that point. I mean, yeah. Parise, Pataia, Noani Tuase, Jorgensen. I mean, best case, we keep one of them, right?
Well, one is only confirmed. Two are confirmed.
It's pretty grim like that. What other country in the world wouldn't want those four players competing for positions? It's pretty dire.
I don't think it's a case of want, though.
No. I think put it this way, if you're picking a back three in this country and one of them cost 1.6 million 1 year, 1.8 million the next, 1.9 million the next, plus gate sales. How much money left over do you have for the other two back three positions? You can't afford them all. The reality is you can probably afford one, and it sounds like they want that to be Jorgensen. He'll be at a similar price. Well, yeah, there isn't money for Pataia, Parise, Noani Tuase. I think it. You can't just keep spending all your money on your back three.
And that's the case, then we are destined, if it's financial structure we're talking about, we're destined to lose that. We can never win.
No. Yeah, it's terrible. And
it's too much on the player to ask him to play for loyalty.
It's also not helpful that Dan McGeller, a guy who's come through the Australian system, coached in Super Rugby, is now coaching at the Premiership. That's who's the head coach of Leicester is. Now knows the situation and is probably utilizing it to his benefit. I know Quinns have come in as well, but using his inside knowledge to try and get Izzy Parise on the cheap, in inverted commas, to try and leverage him out of it is probably not helpful either.
Yeah, look, I've heard some authority that the AOU hasn't picked up the phone for any of these players. Not one of their managers have been contacted. Great. So I think it's a case of they're waiting, sorting out their finances, letting Schmidt get settled in and maybe playing the long game, but you're in your 20s, you don't play forever. Other contracts come knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. AIU isn't even competing, is my understanding. There's just a hold. We'll wait. Let us just assess the. I have a feeling it is financially much more dire than fans, us may even be aware. And it could be, you know, Corey Toole on one wing, Callaway at fullback, Suwali on the other wing.
$450 a ticket.
Fluke at 13.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a version where Australian rugby loses a lot of these players, which, you know, you could argue that, okay, well, now they've got to be smart with their money, and you can have one marquee back three, one marquee center, one marquee half, you know, and just let the rest go. But I think we all know to be competitive, you need Parise, Ikitau, and Fluke fighting for 13. You need Noelini Tuase, Suali fighting for a wing spot, Bataya fighting Jorgensen for the fullback. You know what I mean? You need that competition and that coverage for injuries, and then you need those guys playing Super Rugby. And it's grim, mate. It's really, really grim. And so, you know, what do you do? The Waratahs? Parise gone next year. Like, it's so depressing. Noelini Tuase gone next year. Yeah, you're picking up Callaway and Suwali, but you don't have a center now.
Mm.
Do you play Suwali at 13? That's a pretty steep learning curve.
That's no way. No way.
If you consider his couple years at the Broncos, then coming back to the Tars, he's been on again, off again, injured, on again, off again, injured. He's one of the only blokes who came out of the World Cup looking better. Mm. He only played the one game, but he looked great. It's really grim. So depressing as a fan. I get it financially. You can't keep them all, but it's so depressing.
Can we keep them all?
I don't think there is one right now. Imaginary private equity that never came.
And that's the strength of it. Just the last thing to tie a bow on this, really. I think that's one of the reasons why the Lions tickets are so exorbitant, you know, that there's an interest in it. They need to cash, you need to treat fans. And to your point last week, Mike, that all that, those recommendations didn't take into account the fans. It's about even fleecing the fans now for every kind of coin that they can, because that money that they can make back, hopefully in inverted commas, will then be utilized to strengthen and obviously keep hold of players rather than line the pockets of some people up in higher planes. Because without that money coming in, I don't see how it does change.
It's funny. Probably shouldn't discuss other rugby podcasts on our rugby podcast, but on kickoffs and kick-ons, Mitchell and Giddo were talking about when they were called back for the World Cup with Cheka, they were told by the ARU that we can't pay you, we don't have the money, and you would lose X amount of your contract at Toulon because you're choosing to not be there, but, you know, get your 100th, play for Australia, come to a World Cup, would you do it? And they were like, yes, so they did it. They didn't get paid. And then, you know, the whole board flies over first class, box tickets to watch every game. And even them talking about that now in 2024, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Look about financial spending.
Just to talk about some positives, because, you know, we'll get into the mire of depression. But some of the positives for the Tars. Talk about replacements coming off. Hugh Sinclair coming off the bench. Even Lockie Swinson coming off the bench. You know, Angus Bell coming on coming off the bench. The Tars at the moment, their squad is getting a bit stronger, and I think that's a positive. And I think all three of those made a difference when they came on, either to set piece or just grunt around the pitch. And I have to say, he's not quite up at Mitch Marsh yet, but Ned Hannigan tackled his heart out, didn't miss a tackle, played well at the weekend. You know, he is growing into his season.
Marsh, baby. I thought Lockie Swinton off the bench is absolutely electric, which I agree with you entirely. He was tucked in, high vis, ready to go. I thought he is just shameless, abrasive running. It was awesome. I thought he was an absolute powerhouse on the weekend. Like I said, you know what? I did say before, Tars should be proud 3 weeks in a row. Kiwi team's running it tight. They are playing a lot better. I do think in this one, 10-12 wasn't a fair reflection. The Blues left 30 points off the tee, and it was just atrociously refereed. That the like no team could have got more than 12 points because the game was never played for long enough. The freaking whistle was blown so often that there could just be no momentum. How many disallowed tries did the Blues have? I just thought it was a horrendous game of rugby, this one. Absolute shocker.
Yeah, it was, to your point about the referee, every decision that he made was technically correct. And there was nothing wrong.
Down the line wrong. Like, yeah. So shit.
But it was just, he lost the flow of the game. He lost the feel for the game, you know, because once he started pinging everything, he had to ping everything for consistency. So he didn't advantage one team. So therefore, you're right. It was very, very, very stop-start and wasn't a great watch. If you were a neutral who was just turning on, not a, and a rugby diehard, you would have gone, ugh, inside and probably turned over. But to your point about the Waratahs moving forward, they got feet, they got the Drua this week, and then they got that at game against the Rebels. So you're right. It'll be interesting to see how they match up against those two teams, because maybe they have won, even if they lost, which they have, they get more of a pass against the Kiwi team because they're being competitive, but they won't get that pass mark against the Drua, the Rebels, and then the Brumbies after that. So it's a big three weeks for the Waratahs.
What's cool about the season? Almost every game feels like that right now. Don't you think? Like, there's not many gimmies this year. Forced. That's what I say.
I'm top of the tipping top, boys, so I kind of know what's going on at the moment. You know, how are you two doing?
I haven't got on, but the sports bet looks all right. Pacifica paying $3.80 last week. Thank you very much.
Do you know at one point the Blues...
The Blues favourites, crazy.
Waiting for him to fall, the Pacifica.
Do you know at one point the Tars were the favourites against the Blues? At one point I saw when I went on, which is ridiculous. Anyway.
I the Tars at over $3, but I should know.
Moving on to the Force, where are they at right now? Jim, do you think with a situation where they've just lost 22-14, not many people are watching it right now in the, you know, obviously on the East Coast, it's a 10 o'clock watch. Where do the Force go forward right now?
Mate, I reckon they just got to keep on trucking on like they are. They don't have that many options other than that. They're a fairly young team, not a lot of, you know, talent. And I mean that in an international sense. They've got a good clubman, got some good talents in the clubman, some good guys who've proved themselves at other franchises, but they're just not there. They haven't been there for a while. They don't look like getting there. They're just got to keep trucking it up and keep trying to do something until it sticks, win the small battles. They play an entertaining brand of rugby. As much as the Rebels are a great team, they are a more interesting watch to me. And maybe that was because they turned it on real well against the Brumbies. But point being, they've got no other option just to keep trucking.
But don't disagree with that. I tweeted this on the weekend and I pretty much stand by it. In all seriousness, imagine all the other Super Rugby sides are fully fit. Does a Force player make another Super Rugby side?
Nick what?
Yeah, from the team that played on the weekend. Because, you know, Rodder's fit, yeah, obviously. Nick White's fit, yeah, obviously.
No, he's the easy answer. From the 15.
Look, let's be honest, it's you know, there's young guys with sky's the limit, and you think about how good Hamish Stewart was at the Reds, but, you know, I'm not picking him over Pops Army or Henry at this stage.
Maybe Potter might get on one of the wings somewhere.
Yeah, he could get down at the Rebels, maybe, but... I don't know.
Same as Donaldson. Like, his stock just goes down, mate, going over.
Yeah, and I think King's had a pretty good season.
Me too. Yeah.
Goalkeeping was still a shamble, but I'm still not picking him over Carter Gordon, Noah, Edmed. I mean, the Tars didn't. They let him go. Liner, McLaughlin Phillips. Like, for me, he's still behind all of them. And I mean, like, if that's your team that... Maybe Medrano makes somewhere. I don't know, but
just thinking,
probably not. The hook, the props are pretty strong in the other clubs at the moment. Fully fit. That really, you were dealing with blokes that should be 16 to 30 at other clubs.
Yeah, like, where's the in the shortest of short words? Where's the first win?
It was this weekend, mate.
Not the Drua this week. Do you reckon there'll be the Drua this weekend?
That had hung.
Drua a good team, man.
No, it's this week. Sorry, they are Reds. They got the Reds So it's the Reds this week for the Force, and then the week after it's the Drua. So it's a week six they get the first week. And by the way, no, it's in Fiji, by the way, too.
You're just talking about I'm sure they will get a win, but you know, and they're building and they're young, but it's a team of potential and journeymen. That there's no one who's there. It is what it is. Like, I don't think there's any coaching antidote for players wouldn't make other teams, so they're not going to beat other teams. Mm. You look at Horton. Yeah, Tars would love to have him this weekend because they had all these injuries to Hooker, but they didn't want him as one or two. So hence, he's over there. Tars didn't want him. Aris Tars didn't want him. Like, I don't know. I don't think there's any easy answer for them because they just don't have the players.
Mm. I agree with both your points, but I think it's also be remiss of us not to talk up Pacifica as well. You know, it's great to see them for the global game, for them to grow as a brand, you know, for them to continue to build. They've got a 50% record at the moment. They're what, they're 2-2. It's good for them to continue to build moving forward. Yeah, obviously,
that's their issue. They haven't been building in terms of, I think they'd used 30 players in their squad or something. There's been not much cohesion or continuity there. I think they've almost had a different 10 each week. So for them, I think that's the answer. There's certainly plenty of playing potential, but they need to having guys play week in, week out so that they can build.
Yeah, no, definitely. Do you want to project forward to next week's games? Obviously, we haven't gone through every game. Just what a quick
one this week.
Quick one. I just want to just say one thing. Obviously, Crusaders sucked in. And obviously, congratulations to the Chiefs getting up against the Drua as well. This week's games, let's just do a quick who's your money on. So week five, we've got Hurricanes Rebels. Who are you going with, Jim?
Canes.
Canes. Yeah, Canes.
Brumbies Pacifica?
Brumbies.
Brumbies.
Drua Tars in Fiji, I believe.
Tars.
Drua, quite heavy favourites here. I'll get on those Tars. I think Tars.
Bear in mind that Fiji have already beaten the Crusaders home this year already. Just want to give that caveat.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of who's fit in Waratah land. Is Jorgensen back? Is either of the hookers back? Is
Max Bell Jorgensen back was more? Only rested, wasn't he? He was only rested. That was his week, wasn't he?
There was an injury, I think.
Okay, sorry.
I always measure this stuff on the Tars are coming off two pretty tough losses, really. And they must be training this week with a little bit of fire in the belly, really believing that they can win this one. Because there was an element of, I don't know if we can beat the Blues. Like, if we're thinking it, I'm not saying that they're thinking it, but just that cloud in itself is worth something, particularly in the 70th minute when it's a drawn game.
It would be on average.
Oh, my heart says the Tars, but I just feel like there's some kind of magic that happens down in Fiji. So I lean towards the Drua, but I hope I'm wrong because I hope that the Waratahs get up because all that goodwill that got built up by the fact that they, you know, they were competitive against the Blues to a point, and I stress to a point, and obviously the game against the Highlanders were getting close, and then the win against the Crusaders. All the goodwill that's been earned is going to get dashed pretty quickly if they don't win on Saturday. So let's hope the Waratahs would have a feeling for the Drua. One team that I do think will win will be the Chiefs. I think they'll get up. They're a different animal against the Highlanders, boys. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly every week Highlanders suck.
Blues, Crusaders.
It's a cracker. It used to be game of the season every single year. Blues, I mean, Scott Barrett's out now as well. Crusaders aren't going to have a win for a long time.
Yeah, no. 0-5, baby.
Where's it at?
Auckland. That's in the North Island, Jim, just to let you know.
Blues.
Yeah, up at Eden Park. And the last game of the round is the Force Reds. Who we got, boys? I think we're probably unanimous on this, but I may be wrong.
Ooh,
we got
where's that one at? Ooh. Is that in Fiji? Where the magic happens.
It's definitely, mate. Definitely over in Perth, mate. HBF Park.
How many forced players would make the Queensland Reds? If the number is under seven, it's the Reds to win.
The Reds to win it is then.
But the number's zero, boys.
Yes. All right, just very quick roundup before we go. Culmination of the Six Nations this weekend. Congratulations to Ireland for obviously bumping Scotland at the weekend, 36-0. But England played, even though they lost, and congratulations to the French.
What's that?
Yeah, you know what? Oh, sorry, it was 17-13 in the Ireland-Scotland game. I was looking at the wrong one. It was a great game between France and England, probably game of the tournament, even though England obviously lost. England are building something, you would hope.
You know, I'd call it a moral victory.
We don't have any of those. I think for England moving forward, there's growth. But I think the whole tournament, we have to give props to Italy. This is the first time, you know, a long-time listener, Graham Lennon, mentioned on Twitter that we didn't give enough props to Italy before. And I think he's right, you know, to go into that, to finish up the tournament unbeaten in 3-2 wins and a draw. Amazing turnaround from the last World Cup where they got sunk in the last...
Under-20s are on fire as well.
And they look like rugby players rather than, you know, and I mean that in a collection rather than a group of individuals. You always used to have Sergio Parisse, you know, doing a lot on his own, but there's a lot of talent in that squad now. It's only taken, what, 10 years? to 10, 15 years for them to win that amount of games or to be undefeated after three. But congratulations to Italy, and hopefully it's the start of something great. But the big question is, Warren Gatland, will he come down under and get thumped? And will that be the final nail in the coffin for him in terms of his
coaching
career?
Well, he offered his resignation. Of course, I can't take it.
Yeah.
Wales suck. How good?
Perfect opportunity for the Wallabies to go 3-0 when they come down here. But
it was a fun Six Nations, though. And I think building off the documentary made it all more special. And I just think for Ireland, what's that, back-to-back Six Nations?
Yeah, and I think they'll be disappointed, obviously, losing to England, and so not to have back-to-back Grand Slam championships, but they'll obviously take it. Obviously, fantastic team. But I think the good thing for Ireland as well moving forward, if you think about how the team is evolved with the players that they've got in there, it's not just the same team that's obviously been, you know, chucked out as in previous years. So there's an evolution of that team. If you think about their new 10, new 9, yes, there's still those key players in terms of Bundiaki and what have you, but there's a lot of good young players in that Irish team, and Andy Farrell's doing a great job.
Massive sort of quarterfinalist type of team.
Yeah, made me laugh. There was a sign outside a pub or something where England played Ireland, and it was like pre-game was like, this is the quarterfinal of the Six Nations, and then they lost. It was very funny.
I cannot wait for Ireland v South Africa. Too good to be true that Ireland are coming down there. Yeah. Because I think, you know, rightfully people might make the claim that Ireland are the best team in the world. Other than that one, well, the one loss to England and the one loss at the World Cup, it's some ridiculous amount of games straight. However, I'm still not sold. I'm still back in South Africa every day. But I cannot wait. I cannot wait for that tour. It's going to be so exciting.
I think if it was a, you know, like a European football style event, no, I mean this like in a home and away, like it was a two-legged affair to see who the best team was. I think fair enough, Ireland might have a chance, but in my opinion, not that it's worked much, there is no way they are winning multiple games down in South Africa. Absolutely
very,
no
very
chance.
Hard to do, yeah.
Very, very hard to win away from home there. So good luck to them. But I just don't see it happening. But fantastic tournament, great event. And I think what's great about it is the level, I think, picked up this year as opposed to last year and made a bit more competitive. Wonderful tournament. So great job, guys. Should we call it a day, boys?
Do it.
Hooray. Thanks for listening, guys.
Cheers for your time.
Yeah, loved it.